Way back in the early 70s, I was privileged to be a DJ at the powerhouse AM radio station here in Boston, WBZ. But something wondrous was happening over on the brand new FM dial. DJs playing deep album cuts, saying whatever they wanted about the Vietnam War or women's and gay rights. Man, I said to my boss, have you heard that station, WBCM? Oh, he said, FM, it'll never last.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief.
WBCM became the soundtrack of the city's 250,000 college students, the internet of its time. It played Hendrix, launched the careers of artists like Aerosmith. Arguably, the station had a role in ending the war in Vietnam. It all started in 1966 when Ray Reepin, a young attorney from Kansas City, came to town to attend Harvard Business School, picked up the beat of the surging counterculture. He responded by creating a small club called the Tea Party. Lou Reed, Led Zeppelin played there. And asked the classical radio station, WBCN, if he could have After Midnight for his experiment in alternative underground radio. Which is how, one night in 1968, classical host Rhonda LaChiesa turned over the airways to college DJs led by Joe Rogers, who let it rip.
This is March 15th, 1968. And now it's time for our revolutionary new experiment in radio.
This is WBCN in Boston. Jerry Garcia, Penn, Duane Allman, they're all here.
The story of WBCN is told in the new documentary streaming on PBS, WBCN and the American Revolution. Bill Lichtenstein is the award-winning filmmaker who wrote, directed, and breathed life into the film. He joins us now. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just fine. You tell the story with a Greek chorus of just about everyone who was there. There's also news footage. Noam Chomsky weighs in. But we should say you also make this film as an eyewitness. You came to the station from the suburbs. I think, what were you, 13 years old?
I was 14 years old. I came in and volunteered to answer the listener line.
Well, and there are only a handful of FM stations experimenting with free-form music at this time. But how unique was WBCN?
For starters, it changed radio, because before BCN, radio was really a performance. The idea of having a conversation with your listeners, and then the music that BCN played, Frank Zappa to Cream to the blues, you couldn't hear anywhere. This was really the vision of Ray Reepin, that to have this kind of radio that would have all kinds of music in a conversational tone, and finally young people. He went around and found kids at college radio stations who knew the underground culture, but they were not seasoned professionals.
Let's listen. First, you have a little of Ray Reepin talking about going to the college stations, and then we're going to hear from Tommy Hadges, a student he found at Tufts Radio. Let's listen.
I listened to the college radio stations, and they were on the air, and I just walked in and introduced myself, and I said, I need some announcers. Would you guys be interested in going on real radio?
I heard he controls the club, the Boston Tea Party, very important guy, and he's going to start a commercial radio station. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm in school. I'm a full-time student. What can I do?
Well, what he did was start working at the station, eventually dropping out of Harvard Dental School. Such was the lure of the Pied Piper of radio, WBCN. Bill Lichtenstein, the station also had Peter Wolf of Jay Giles' band, who had a shift.
Yes, Kuma Leba Gaba Gaba. This is Wolf Goofa Mama Tupa Hoppa Dupa. You're listening to WBCN FM 104.1 in Boston. And you know what WBCN means?
You had the tremendous Maxine Sartori, one of the first female rock DJs. She discovered Aerosmith, launched Bruce Springsteen.
Hello, Bruce Springsteen.
We're on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air.
Hey! This is my very first time on radio, and I want to say hello to my mother who lives in California. Hi, Mom. All right, let's do Well, I stood stone-like at midnight, suspended in my masquerade.
So there's the music that's happening, but talk about the political backdrop. What was going on in Boston?
1967 was the summer of love in San Francisco, and was really about peace and love, and maybe some LSD could change the world. By 68, with the war in Vietnam escalating, things became much more political, and really the epicenter of the 60s counterculture moved to Boston and became much more politicized. So BCN, which started as a radio station largely focused on the music, became really at the center in many ways of not just the anti-war movement, but sort of the whole effort to expose what was going on with the war in Vietnam.
You had the popular morning show host Charles Lacordaire, who casually made a comment after a commercial about kids being napalmed.
Yeah, he did a commercial for Underground Camera, who was a Cambridge camera store. And they mentioned that Honeywell Pentax cameras were on sale at a time when the Honeywell Corporation was making anti-personnel weapons in Vietnam that were known to be targeting Cambodian children. And so at the end of the commercial, he said, "There's your chance to buy a camera from the company that kills Cambodian babies." The store sued, and the station eventually lost, but the judge said because it was true, he only assessed $1 in damages. But that kind of a, it was really unheard of for a radio station, I think, to speak out.
This was before this kind of suspicion of the government was validated by the Watergate hearings. And at the center of all of it was Danny Schechter, the news dissector. Yeah. He often made national news with his findings, the news guy. At one point in your film, students take over the dean's offices at Harvard. Danny goes in with SDS leader Michael and Sarah, and he gets very upset. He says, "Get these kids out of here. This is a terrible look, these kids all over the office." And then he realizes he's in there too,
Yep.
And he gets the kids out. And then what does he do?
He and Michael and Sarah began to go through the confidential files in the dean's office. Harvard said they had no contracts with the CIA. They're finding contracts with the CIA. Harvard said they're not involved with the Vietnam War effort. They find, that Henry Kissinger had gone to Vietnam at the behest of the State Department while he was a Harvard professor. The question was, what do you do with these documents? So Danny snuck them out in a book bag, and then they published them, and it became a huge issue.
Well, before he gets out with those papers, Danny realizes that he's facing a gauntlet of police officers at the gate that he has to get out, and he kind of fakes that he is totally against these disruptive students. Let's listen.
So I pick a fight with this kid. "Let me out of here. I hate this revolution. Look what you're doing to Harvard. You're destroying the whole place. I can't stand it." At which point a cop comes over and says, "Let this guy leave." And the cop escorts me out, not knowing that in my bag are all these documents.
Bill Lichtenstein, WBCN would go on in later years to be hugely popular rock station. Listeners had no idea of its role. By the way, you also have a book coming out. The book is also called WBCN and the American Revolution. What might we learn there?
We have FBI files that the FBI was trying to figure out kind of, the flow of information to young people. And it was their assessment, which was accurate, that BCN, was involved in sort of putting out the word about what was going on with the anti-war movement. And Charles Lacordaire's name is in an FBI file that we have. There was a famous raid at the Center for International Affairs at Harvard, which was Henry Kissinger's old office. Anti-war activists broke in and stole a bunch of documents. I had followed along after an anti-war demonstration, and I actually went in and called the station on the phone from inside and did a live report on the air.
How old were you?
Inside. 72 would have been 16, or 15 probably. And interestingly, when I got back to the station, Danny said, "Did you get any documents?" I mean, I was so proud of myself for having done this report. And Danny's like, "The next time you're in a, government, like, get some documents." What was most interesting, and I think out of that era, was the connection between universities, the government, and war profiteering. And a lot of that was exposed largely in Boston, Dan Ellsberg, and what BCN was doing in Chomsky, and I think that a lot of that was revealed here.
Billy Lichtenstein, director and writer of the documentary WBCN and the American Revolution, and also the book of the same name. Billy, I'm always going to call you Billy. thank you so much.
Thank you.
We leave listeners with the anthem of WBCN. You can hear it in the film. It's called Something in the Air, Thunderclap Newman. And thoughts of the great Al Perry, the WBCN general manager who protected his DJs, and Danny Schechter, the news dissector, both of whom have left us.
Little did we know, you know, little did we know that we would be involved in something that would be as much fun and so meaningful to so many people.
You know, we were young, we were sometimes crazy, we made mistakes, but we were right.
Paraphrasing anti-war activist Abby Hoffman there, what a time it was.